Hello, everyone. On the surface, a relatively easy way to stop the war in Ukraine, stop, mind you, not resolve, is for Russia and Ukraine to agree that areas Russian forces now occupy in Ukraine would belong to Russia. Those areas include the eastern Donbas region and Crimea, which Russia absorbed in 2014. Ukraine might also have to agree not to join NATO. In return, Moscow would agree to call a halt to its invasion and respect Ukraine's territorial integrity. Vladimir Putin has offered just such a proposal, whereas Vladimir Zelensky has firmly rejected it. Zelensky will be in Washington shortly to tell President Biden he has a different plan, a plan for victory. It's hard to imagine what that might be, short of continuing the war with even more U.S. and long-range NATO weapons that can continue deep strikes into Russian territory. Complicating any proposal for a ceasefire and peace talks is public opinion in Russia and Ukraine. By all accounts, Russians support Putin's war. They have bought into his notion that Ukraine belongs to Russia and is vital to Russian security from the West. Ukrainians are equally firmly opposed to any settlement that would cede territory. As the Washington Post reports, quote, an opinion poll by the Kyiv International Institute of Sociology conducted in May found that a third of Ukrainians are now prepared to make territorial concessions to Russia if this would bring a swift end to the war and preserve Ukraine's independence. But more than half the population still rejects the idea of conceding land for peace. Earlier polling by the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace found that nearly two-thirds, for instance, rejected a settlement that would freeze the current front lines, and 86% didn't trust Russia not to attack even after signing a treaty. Professor Walter Clemens, a Russia expert at Boston University, offers four reasons why negotiating with Russia at this time to end the war is not advisable. First is Moscow's imperial ambitions. Quote, a pause in the Ukraine war would permit the Kremlin to rebuild Russia's forces and, after NATO and Kyiv relax, renew its push to take all of Ukraine and go on to Moldova, the Baltic states, and elsewhere in Moscow's near abroad. Second, the Kremlin's promise of non-aggression means nothing. Russia said it would respect Ukraine's independence in 1994, when Ukraine agreed to give up its nuclear weapons. Needless to say, Russia broke that agreement. Third, no peace treaty with Putin's regime can ensure justice for war criminals. So long as Putin remains in power, he cannot and will not be punished, and nor will he allow his criminal associates to face justice. The International Criminal Court's arrest warrant includes not only Putin, but also his Commissioner for Children's Rights. Both bear responsibility for the kidnapping of some 20,000 Ukrainian children. And the fourth reason he gives, so long as the Putin regime survives, Russia will not acknowledge or pay for the damage it has inflicted on Ukraine or for the millions killed, wounded, shell-shocked, traumatized, crippled, evacuated, and forced to flee abroad. Unless you're Donald Trump, who thinks he can end the war by giving Putin whatever he wants and cutting Ukraine adrift, it's awfully difficult to find any way to find an honorable and just end to this war, certainly not with Ukraine's interests foremost. Ukraine has been invaded, a good deal of its territory seized, its cities relentlessly bombed, its economy nearly destroyed, and the lives of its people, and especially its children, damaged in innumerable ways. The chieftain of the invaders, Putin, is a war criminal. How can Ukrainians, however much they may yearn for peace, sit down with him and negotiate in good faith? And even if a territorial arrangement were agreed upon, what basis would there be for ensuring that Putin's appetite was satisfied? The foreign minister of Germany just said the other day that Moldova would surely be next if Ukraine is defeated. Since Ukraine would not be a member of a security organization, NATO, how would its new borders be protected? Then there's the overwhelming issue of rebuilding a country. That would take hundreds of billions of dollars. Who will pay the bills? Many in the European Union will shrink from such costs. In sum, bringing peace to Ukraine is even more difficult than it is to Israel-Palestine. While territorial issues are a major obstacle in both situations, and the threat of a wider war is inherent in both, in the Israel case, we at least have a phased agreement under negotiation. That agreement has reasonably clear road marks for moving from a temporary ceasefire and exchange of hostages and prisoners to a permanent ceasefire and troop withdrawals. In Ukraine, the very notion of a ceasefire is viewed as equivalent to surrender, since that would freeze Russia's territorial gains. That is why Zelensky will plead with Biden for more long-range weapons in a war Ukraine cannot win and dares not lose. I'm Mel Gertow for the Global Citizen. Thanks for listening.